All right, welcome to the Midcoast Tech Fest. I'm Mike Carlin, and with me, as always, is Saul Heidi.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am excellent.
How is everything in Colombia?
Right now, it's the rainy season, so we get about 18 gallons of rain every day, and the streets turn into rivers. But it'll be over in a couple weeks, and back to the normal heat and humidity.
So you got that to look forward to.
Exactly. And how's Kansas?
Kansas is actually, it's hot and humid as well. I don't know if you could say unseasonably hot. It's been like 95 and above the last week, which, you know, like in the September, it shouldn't be that miserable, but it has been, so I don't know.
I guess I'm glad I'm in Barranquilla right now, living on the equator.
You know, the rain would be nice, I guess, but, you know, I'm sure you've had enough. Rainy seasons are overrated, but
they sure are.
We could use some moisture. I sound like a farmer. I'm not at all, but we could use the rain.
We could use some moisture. Well, let's get started. What are you working on in class these days? What tech tools you got going on?
If you remember back to the last pod, I talked about doing the Outsiders with my 7th graders. Still doing the Outsiders. We're a little more than halfway through. Still doing a lot of the same things through Edmodo, and I believe I talked about
the trading cards.
The trading cards as well, right? So, just going strong with that. But something that I've incorporated as a recommendation from a good friend of mine who's a teacher is something called Remind 101. Are you familiar with that?
I have heard of it. I haven't used it in my class, but I've heard a lot of great things about it.
Okay. Can you see this wonderful site right here?
Not yet. I think your screen share is off.
There she is.
Black screen. There it is. Got it.
Okay. Remind 101, as you can see here, a safe way for teachers to text message students and stay in touch with parents for free. In my mind, the most commonly used, widely available form of phone or internet technology is text messaging. I mean, you can't rely on having a good a student or their parents having internet at home all the time, especially the kids I teach who live in rural areas. You know, it's in and out sometimes. There can always be computer problems, so in my mind, for my money, you know, text messaging is probably the most reliable and widely used form of that technology out there. Everyone, from what I have found, uses this. So to get messages out there as far as assignments that are due, things that are coming up, this app is amazing. And I'm not a big fan of, you know, sharing my phone number with all of my students and all their parents. I mean, it's not that I'm particularly worried about anything, you know, specific, but it's just, you know, sharing that kind of information is can be a little tricky sometimes. So the great thing about this app is it's just a text messaging system that allows you to send something out without having a return number on it. So, for example, as you can see here maybe on the screen, I'm also the high school Scholars Bowl coach at my school, so I use this to send messages out to my members of the team. But if I wanted to do it with students in my class or parents, I could invite them. They have this number here that they would see, and they would receive a message, like an invitation message from me, and then from there on out they would get kind of an anonymous number that would send them messages. They can't send things back to me, but they can get messages periodically as I want to schedule something like a practice or a test or a reminder about an assignment. I can send it out, schedule it for whatever day that I want to, and then it will go out to them kind of anonymously. As I said, they can't respond to it, so it is really one-sided, but it kind of eliminates that gray area of communicating freely via text. So
you could actually schedule it to send like on a Friday or Thursday night to be like, hey, remember we've got that test tomorrow, and then it's all set to go.
Exactly. So this is something that I'm really wanting to use. I've kind of tested it out. With my seventh graders, I haven't got all their phone numbers and all their parents' numbers to do all of that yet, but I've kind of practiced with my Scholars Bowl kids, and it's something, I really should get permission from my principal to do first when I want to start sending out mass messages. But for my friend who does it, he used it last year, and he's using it now. He teaches in Eudora, and he kind of swears by it as far as getting out messages for his classes. So I really like it. I've had good success with it. Something to use. I don't know, what's your opinion about kind of that text correspondence?
I think that's great. Even here in Columbia, that would work awesomely. The parents communicate by text all the time, and they've always got their phones with them anyway. So that would be a super efficient, easy way to get a quick message out to all your parents and students. Yeah, I think that's great. And it's free, and you have an anonymous number. You don't have to use your own phone number. So, yeah, that seems like a really wonderful service. Nice.
I'm hesitant to do, to put my own phone number out there. Not available for parent communication at any time, but still, it's just, for good, just reminders about everyday things, this is a really nice way to go about doing that. So, yeah, Remind 101, I highly recommend it.
Nice. All right. Yeah, that's a great tool. Okay, so over on my end, we finished our projects from last week. We were making online newspapers, and I talked about issue issuu.com for online publishing. This week I'm doing a cross-curricular project with the middle school English teacher, and I'm having them make animations of a book they read. Of a book they read last year. So to make those animations or comics, I'm using two tools, and I'll pull them up over here. They are. Can you see that? Nope. Screen share.
I'm waiting.
And there. First one, Domo Animate. This is one of my favorite tools that I've discovered within the past year. Completely free and a ton of great characters and backgrounds, and the kids can make really fun and enjoyable animations very quickly. It's an easy system to use. You just click on the characters and you can give them actions, or you can make them walk or run or do whatever, and it's very easy to animate and add dialogue and all sorts of stuff. So I've had about a 95% happiness rating with this, and there's always a few kids who don't enjoy it, but the vast majority love using this. And so right now they're making animations about a novel they read last year, and they're paraphrasing, and they're incorporating quotes, and they're including their reaction to the novel and describing the characters and things like that, and they love it. And so they have the option of using Domo Animate, or the second option is a site called Pixton. Have you heard of it?
I have not, no. That looks cool.
Yeah, Pixton is a free comic creator, free for the most part. If you want to make long, big ones, you have to get a school or a business account. But for shorter ones, you can make a pretty large number of short ones for free, and it's really nice. So here I've got one open, and you've got a pretty large selection of characters that you can choose from, and you can add them. And the fun thing about this is if you double-click on them, you can move kind of every little part of them. You can change their expressions if you want the dinosaur to be winking at you, maybe. Hola. And you can change. There's a ton of backgrounds, and there he is in your living room.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's a really fun, also easy-to-use, free tool that incorporates technology. And you can use it in English or language arts or history or even had a science teacher using it to create biographies about famous scientists. So both of these, Domo Animate and Pixton, are pretty good tools I've found to incorporate technology into other classes outside of the computer classroom.
Awesome. Yeah, what is Domo, is that like a Japanese thing or something? I have students who are who seem to be really into it, or at least have like backpacks or folders or stuff that has Domo on it. I
have no idea where Domo came from, but you're right. Yeah, a lot of the students love Domo. I don't know. I should figure that out. But yeah, I have no idea where it came from.
But that looks really cool. And I feel like I've used a program called Extra Normal before.
I think it's gone. I think it's been discontinued now.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I tried to use that, or I did use that last year, kind of doing the same type of assignment that you're doing, you know, where they're basically recreating a scene from something they've read using these characters from the site. But I feel like as time goes on, you know, there's better sites, more you know, more possibilities, especially with the free ones, which is it's great. So yeah, that kind of thing is so awesome and easy to use, and then when the kids can get more creative and there's more options to choose. And I mean, if you're controlling the way, you know, their mouth can move and their head can move, I mean, that's miles above what Extra Normal offered, which was pretty static, you know, little characters that their voices were robotic. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of those. Definitely.
I will definitely do that.
So I guess we're moving into the second part of the show, the app review part, and then after this we will have a very special surprise guest joining us.
A very special guest.
Absolutely. But first, yeah, let's do app review. What app are you going to talk about this week?
I'm going to talk about an oldie but a goodie. BrainPop. Are you familiar with BrainPop?
Absolutely. Love BrainPop.
Okay. Does that bring it up here? Can you see that? There we go.
I could, but then it did there.
There we go.
There it is.
Okay. Well, BrainPop is... I don't know much about the origin of it, how long it's been around, but as I was finishing up my grad program 2 years ago, and then as I started teaching last year, our school had a license for this site that basically covers the gamut of curriculum areas: science, social studies, English, which is mine, math, engineering and tech, health, PE, arts, music, that kind of thing. This covers a wide variety of topics. I'll just click on this and show what is offered, maybe. Waiting. There we go.
Yes.
So, from topics like the famous authors and their books, writing, study and reading skills, just a wide variety of topics that begin with a short video, I'd say probably 3 to 4 minutes, and accompanying that video is a quiz or an activity. So, I mean, there's just the type of things that you would discuss or even test on, you know, at the appropriate grade level. So they can watch, instead of me getting up and lecturing about, let me go back here, something as in the kid's mind, boring or dry as critical reasoning or paraphrasing. You know, they can, instead of me getting up and lecturing about that, they can watch this video, which is, they're pretty entertaining, they're animated well, and they're little bits of humor, have the same characters occurring in each one so they can, you know, they get kind of an idea of what's going to be provided with that. So they watch the video. Like I said, it's just a few minutes long, and then there's a quiz or lesson ideas that accompany it. And I just, periodically, I bring this up. The iPads that we do have at our school have this app on it. We have a school license, so they're able to see all of the videos and take all the quizzes, and it's just really helpful just on those days when, you know, the kids are tired of hearing me talk and want a little different aspect. And they can go in, watch it on their own, and then take the quiz at their own speed, and it's just so helpful. As we were talking in a team meeting of teachers for the 7th grade that, you know, renewing our license for this, and everyone is really in agreement that, of course, we want to bring this back because everyone uses it, social studies, science, special ed department, they use this, you know, really overall everyone uses it quite often. So it's just such a great tool. It's fun, it's enjoyable. The videos are really good overall, enjoyable.
I know our special ed department in Gardner was a huge fan of it, and they used it all the time. And at the middle schools there, they used it also. We had a district subscription, and yeah, everyone always raved about it and loved it.
Yeah. I know today, being September 11th, that our social studies teacher is going to use a video about September 11th on there. Just a few days ago, I did Going Along with the Outsiders. There's kind of a division in the book of the lower class people who are really, this book takes place in the 60s, so there's kind of the lower class people who are still into Elvis, and then there's the upper class people who are into the Beatles at that time. And there's a video about Elvis, there's a video about the Beatles, and it's, I watched it with the kids and listened to it, and it's funny how they talk about both of them and their progression as artists. So it's cool. I mean, it's enjoyable for me to show, and kids learn very easily through it. Yeah. Brain Pop.
Nice. And it's not a free resource, right?
It is to a degree. I think.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but I would say maybe a third, if not a little more, of the videos are free to watch. But if you have the full license, you can watch all the videos that they offer, and then there's games along with the quizzes and the lessons that go with it. Yeah, it's just a great way to get away from a lecturing or just a PowerPoint about a certain topic. And one thing, as far as doing a grade for it, like if they take the quiz over a topic, it will assign them a grade. In my classroom, which is paperless, I try to stay away from printing out. You know, if they do it on a computer, they don't have to print it out, you know, their results from the quiz. But they can email me their quiz score. So, for example, if they would have done it over Elvis, they took the quiz, got 9 out of 10. And they email that score to me, so I can get it right away. So
that's awesome.
It works great.
Yeah, okay. I just checked the, so for the classroom use, it's a $200, which is a little pricey, but it is an awesome comprehensive resource. And then the school price was $1,500, but that is for all subjects and grade levels. And then you can get a district membership as well. And they have Brain Pop in Spanish, and they have ESL Brain Pop, and they have it for K-3 also. So they've got a ton of great options. And, yeah, it's an awesome resource.
Yeah, and that I wasn't aware of the price. That does sound like a lot of money to pay for something, but I think from my experience, something that can be shared amongst peers, well, my peers, other teachers, other departments. I mean, that's pretty huge, because a lot of money is spent on things that aren't as well used across the curriculum. So, yeah, it's an option for people out there, definitely.
Nice.
What do you got? Hit me.
I have got a relatively new app called EduClipper. So let me pull that up. Can you see that?
Oh, wow.
So EduClipper is, if you've used Pinterest before, this layout probably looks pretty familiar. It's basically sort of the Pinterest for education and for teachers. So you've got these boards here of different links and topics and web pages. They can be things you've uploaded. They can be things your students have uploaded or you've found on other websites. Basically any form of digital media you can have here. And so the idea is that for your class, you can create a clipboard by finding things on here, by searching or just sort of browsing. And the ones you like, you can drag down here to the bottom to your EduClipboard. And then you could share that with students. So let's say you're reading a book or learning about a topic in science or math class, and you find some good videos on YouTube, and then you also find some good articles in the news and maybe an infographic you like, and you want a good way to put all that digital media together, EduClipper is awesome for that. And it's super easy. You just find what you want, drag it down there, and then you can share that board with your classrooms or your students. And they also, just yesterday or the day before, they announced a new feature, Portfolios, where if your students have a collection of work or links or whatever, you can create these digital portfolios to share it off, and they look pretty nice. They don't have very many yet because they just launched it. But the other super nice thing about it is you can upload, maybe you made a PowerPoint or you typed a Word document or anything you've created that's digital, you can upload to here and share. So you could have a class board where everyone shares all of their presentations or all of their papers and things like that, and it's a really just great place to share and organize digital media, and it's completely free, and it's awesome. Yeah, I really like it a lot. It's a great great site.
That looks great. Now I want your opinion, because I will admit I like Pinterest. I find things on Pinterest occasionally that I use, but I'm a little ashamed to admit that. I feel like it's catered more toward the female demographic. The female demographic, especially for when you look for teacher stuff, you know, it's more, you know, because as far as like classroom design or, you know, for art, for your, you know, to create a
bulletin board or anything like that.
There you go. Yeah. That kind of thing.
I've noticed that as well, and I'm not sure if it's maybe just a statistical thing, because since more teachers are generally female, but I don't know. It's of my friends, the majority of them who use Pinterest tend to be females. And I'm not exactly sure why, but I definitely love it. And there's a lot of things on there, classroom resources, recipes, just tons of awesome stuff I found on there.
Yeah.
But you're right. It does seem to be...
There's that stigma attached to it. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, you're right.
Maybe we can do our little part to tear down that wall and bring interest to the...
What I'm saying, if this site, which... Immediately when you put it up there, I thought, oh, that looks like Pinterest. Like, you know, I mean, that's screaming to me that's the same type of situation, but maybe it's a little more universal and not just, you know, catering more towards the female demographic. So that's awesome. I'm really curious. I've never seen that before, haven't heard of it, so I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's great. Cool. So I think it might be time for our special guest of the night, right?
Yeah, so let me introduce her. She is definitely ready.
She's already in our studio.
Sorry, I missed the drum roll. Oh.
Did we lose
you? Come on, guys.
I'm here.
Are you doing this on purpose?
There we go.
Well,
I'm sorry. I tried to sabotage her.
I do like brain pop.
Her introduction, but
no, I'm not brain pop.
Let me introduce our guest. And I will put her information up here so listeners and viewers can get...
Let it be known that I think I am the official first guest, correct?
You are. You are the our inaugural guest of the Midcoast Tech Fest.
All right. So when your ratings skyrocket, you'll
know why.
Yeah.
Well, this is my lovely wife, but also a colleague in the field of teaching 7th grade language arts, Pauline Sung. I will put her information up there.
Hi, Pauline.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Great.
And I will kind of be off here, off screen a little bit as we put the attention on her.
And this is weird, and this will be good, I think, for your audience. I don't know who your target audience, but I think your target audience would be me. But even something like this, like a video podcast, I've never done. So I'm very uncomfortable right now. So it'll be a good learning experience for me, too.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, a big part of our audience is teachers who are curious about technology and want to try to use more technology but maybe aren't super comfortable with it and want to try to get more comfortable with it. So I'm glad we could be part of your first video podcast.
Well, thank you. Well, thanks for having me on. I feel very special.
So why don't we start? Just tell us a little about your teaching experience, where you work, how long you've been teaching, all that stuff.
Well, I started, actually, I don't know if Saul told you or not, but we taught at the same high school in Ottawa.
That's where you met, right?
Oh, yeah. That's where I met this little gem.
Ottawa, Kansas. Yes.
That's where it all happens. So, beautiful. And we taught in adjoining rooms. We taught English. I taught freshmen, sophomores. And after that, we got married. We got hitched. We tied the knot, so to speak. And we went to Korea for 3 years, which you know, Mike.
Which is where we met Michael.
And it was a wonderful time.
And then after that, I came back to Kansas. And currently, I'm teaching in a school district, a pretty large school district in Kansas City, teaching 7th grade ELA.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we can curriculum plan, talk about Common Core. I mean, it's a pretty happening Friday, Saturday night, you know.
Yeah.
Things get kind of crazy. And throw that technology in there, and man,
align some standards.
Oh, yeah, Common Core, all about them.
Wonderful.
Okay, well, I'm gonna come with a hard-hitting question.
Bring them.
You better bring it.
Bring
with
it.
Your answer here.
Yeah, I got answers.
Because you know, obviously, we are into technology, and it plays a big role in our classrooms and always has. But tell me, when you started teaching way back when,
mm-hmm.
at Ottawa,
back when
or even when you're doing your student teaching, you know, what kind of role did technology play in your teaching?
Well, PowerPoints were huge, you know, and you have, you know, the cool little animation, the fade in, the fade out, and then you can add the flip bar. I mean, that was pretty cool.
Okay.
And still, I mean, that's around, right? PowerPoints? That's around. That's current.
Well, it
that's hip.
Still is the norm, I think.
Yeah.
But
did I have a chalkboard? No, I didn't have a chalkboard. I did have a whiteboard, but the only thing I had was, well, the computer, a printer, and, dare I say it, the projector with the...
Ooh, like the overhead projector.
Oh,
overhead
yeah, projector. With the transparency and the vis-a-vis.
Mm-hmm.
How has that changed? What's it look like now in your classroom? What tools are you using? How has that changed since you started?
Well, ironically, although I do work in a pretty large, affluent school district, our school, I have a whiteboard. I do have an LCD projector. I just got an Elmo, a dot cam. Mm-hmm. And I have a laptop.
Very
nice. What about within your school, what's available to the kids as far as devices, labs,
that
kind of thing?
They do have computer labs. And I believe, they have the laptop carts available to be checked out. And I think they just got a grant for an iPad cart, but it's very limited. You can't just go in and, you have to reserve, and you can only bring your classes to the library. So it's kind of, it's available, but it's a little bit restrictive in a way.
And granted, in Kansas, we are behind the, is that a bird flying by?
I have no idea, but it stopped.
In Kansas, I think compared to districts nationally, we might be a little bit behind the times as far as incorporating iPads or one-to-one, bring your own device type of programs into our schools. So I think we're slowly catching up, with the times. But I think Pauline's situation is probably pretty standard for what most districts see across the state.
Yeah, that's how it was. It was similar in Gardner when I was there. I think we had like one or two smart boards in the high school, but right, for the most part, that's what we were working with.
Really?
Yeah. So, Pauline, do you have any favorite sites or apps or tech tools you've been using this year with the kids that you have had great experience with?
Well, one app that Saul actually told me about is Class Dojo, which I'm not sure if you mentioned that last week.
What's it called?
Class Dojo.
Ah, Class Dojo, yeah.
I really like, I really like it. I like that you can add your own behaviors, positive or negative. And the kids love it. They love it. So I've had great success with that. One that I actually currently just started using last Friday, I had all my kids log on and get Edmodo accounts. Did you guys talk about that last week?
I think those are both things that
we talked about
last podcast.
I did.
It's what I like to call product placement.
I do listen, but I meant, all the Concord stuff is still in my head. So.
Somebody did not watch the podcast.
I did. I'll go back and review. But yeah, so I'm currently launching Edmodo into my class.
And actually, Pauline showed me Edmodo this summer after taking a class dealing with Edmodo. So had I not been familiarized through her, then, I probably would not be using it this year.
So you really stole her thunder last week then by talking about Edmodo already.
He's like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this in my classroom. But meanwhile, this girl was the brains behind that operation.
Good teachers steal ideas.
Oh, yeah, touché.
Very true.
I'm sorry.
I think I just stole your question. Is there one piece of classroom technology that you couldn't live without that you absolutely must have to be successful?
Yes, I'm going to. Is it just for your classroom, for my classroom?
Or life?
Or life. Well, I would say, and it's cliche, but up until December, I think, I had never had a smartphone before, and then I got an iPhone 5, and it changed my world. Just having that instant knowledge at your fingertips, and it's multitasking, and I actually do use it. Our school is trying to implement BYOD, bring your own device, and the kids all have smartphones, so having just kind of working out the logistics of it is difficult, but having them all come in with phones, being able to use Edmodo and all the other technology apps just makes it so much more convenient, and You guys were talking about what app you were talking about.
Remind
101. It just makes it so much easier to communicate and have students informed, parents informed. So I think the smartphone is...
Yeah, and because you can use, right, you can use all those great education apps on the phone now. You can use Edmodo and Remind and BrainPop, and so many of those are easy to access. On the, I think even, I know Google or ClassDojo has an iPad app, and I'm pretty sure you can have it on the iPhone too, where you can use all those even in your classroom, and it makes it easier to move around among your students and be also recording data and keeping track of things on your phone.
I've used ClassDojo with my phone and my iPad in the classroom, and it looks pretty well. And yeah, good success with that.
So. Bringing the conversation back to me.
Hey, Saul.
This exactly what you guys are saying. I usually take after the first 10 or 15 minutes of class and we're going along and I haven't taken attendance yet. I usually find a moment to go back to my laptop and get on the school site and check off if everyone's there. But just having an iPad to be able to continue what I'm doing and be up and around, and just there's an app for Power Teacher that I can go in and take attendance on my iPad, that I can, you know, take care of that without kind of distancing myself from what we're doing, sitting down, okay, taking attendance, and then going back to the class. But this way I can still be up and doing it. And I mean, that's just, I think, how so many apps, so many programs work that allow you to do that, still be up and
I think that's
involved.
Huge, especially when you have a large class and you don't want to constantly be going back to your computer.
Right.
You know, you want to be up and around and, you know, really in their faces, so to speak, and making sure they're paying attention.
Engaged.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Engaged. In their faces.
Yes. Ooh, can I talk about one more app that I want to try that I haven't?
Please do.
I did take kind of a mini course, an introduction on an app called Socrative. And
yes, I've heard a lot of great things about it. I've tried it, but I haven't used it. But I hear great things about it. What was your class about?
With that, I've never used Quizlet before that much in depth, but I think it's kind of like Quizlet. You can, you know, put up a quiz, and it's in live time, so students can, like, you'll have, you know, questions on, you know, displayed, and the students can, you know, answer on their iPad or whatever device that they have, and it's instant feedback. So you can, you know, put a poll out there. Everyone votes, and it automatically shoots up the data. Or a multiple choice question, everyone punches in their answer, and it just automatically shows up. So I think that having that instant feedback, and for teachers, I think it's great because, you know, if you want a quick, you know, check for understanding, you got it right there, you know. So exit slips, entrance slips, I think an app like that would be really beneficial.
Yeah, I've got it pulled up over here. It's right. Ah. It's a student response system, sort of like the clickers we used to have, where, you know, you'd put a question up and the students could push A, B, C, or D. But so much more than that. Like you were saying, multiple choice questions, exit slips, polls, and it's all live and in real time, and just so many more options just than just A, B, C, or D.
And I think our principal, she had mentioned that with that app, the exit slips, there are already pre-made ones.
Mm.
So you could just have pre-made exit slips. Yeah, so I think it's very convenient and really enhances your curriculum.
Absolutely, and in a not very time-consuming way. It's an easy system to learn and to put questions into, and you don't have to sit there and figure out how to use this new technology tool. It's a pretty easy-to-understand interface, which is always nice with new technology.
I think the less paper for teachers to have to lug around and carry and grade, the better, I think.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, I've said my piece.
Well, thank you very much, Pauline, for joining us tonight. Saul, do you have any parting words?
She's a hard act to follow, and I know those of you out there who will watch this and see that, will probably call for her to take my place because she's a busy woman, so she can't do this every week. So I'm sorry, you're stuck with me.
I am happy to be stuck with you, Saul.
Many people have said after meeting Pauline, they say, "Oh, we wish we would have interviewed her before we interviewed you, because then you never would have got the job." But I get, and that's why I married her, because she does bring it that strong in the classroom. So anyway, a lot of good stuff tonight. I look forward to hearing from people out there. Any feedback? Any suggestions? Anything to have questions about?
Well, right now we're rolling hard at zero viewers, so maybe by next week we'll have some live watches. But to everyone watching the pre-recorded version, thank you very much for tuning in and joining us tonight.
Yeah. I don't know. Surely there's maybe there's something on TV at this hour, maybe. I don't know.
2.5 Men.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, all right.
With that, we will leave you until next time with a new special guest, and I'm sure many more surprises and awesome apps to come. So,
been fun,
thank you
man.
For watching. It has been fun.
This brings it into episode 2 of the Mid-Coast Tech Fest. Thanks for watching.